This conference is being recorded.
Oh, wait, if you would please, before as we begin, if you would please hit *5 on your phone to mute yourself out. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to bring to you a lady who hails from New York City. Her name is Dr. Paulette Kaufman Sherman. She wrote the book Dating from the Inside Out, Using the Law of Attraction in Matters of the Heart. This is going to be a top seller. She is the president and owner of My Dating School. Go to www.mydatingschool.com. She practices in New York City and Manhattan. She's been featured as a date expert on television, radio, is a licensed psychologist, certified coach, and even an ordained minister, so she can marry those single people. She received her Ph.D. in clinical psychology in New York City, and she's actually practiced in New York, Pennsylvania, and South Carolina. She does a weekly column for the Improper magazine, and she's been featured in Glamour magazine. She's a lady with heart. She's a lady who walks the walk and talks the talk about relationships. It is my pleasure to bring to you, from New York City, Dr. Paulette Kaufman Sherman. Dr. Sherman, welcome to Talkin' Health.
Thank you, Joe. It's such a pleasure to be here. I appreciate it.
And then I thought I had eaten a little bit of something.
Dr. Kaufman, can you hear me?
I can. I'm hearing another person too, though. But
yeah, I don't know why that, you know, that shouldn't be happening, actually, because I'm surprised because actually I hit the codes and guess what? Things happen. Folks, do me a favor. If you have a TV on in the background, I don't know why the code should be working to mute everyone out, but you guys were not muted. Anyway, so that's everyone here should be on the line that has pound signs. So Dr. Kaufman, you should be on the opposite line of me, correct?
I believe so. I hit
okay.
The star. Okay.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. Do me a favor, please, folks. Someone is in the background. Actually, I don't know. They must have got on the moderator code. Please, if you would, make sure you dialed in on a pound sign, not a star sign, because the background noise is interfering with the program. That's better.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that. Anyway, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you. And I guess let me begin this way if I can.
Nancy and Harry Smith. I know you sound have heard of Harry's place in Elkin. It used to be just an old beer joint.
Dr. Kaufman?
Yes, Joe.
We're gonna have to talk to you. Guys, I apologize. Folks, please, if you would, please hit *6 on your phone to mute yourself out because there is background noise.
You can still do that. You can still and then they have the restaurant
in person.
You won't actually just see anybody in there. I mean, everybody goes there to eat. Her mother fed everybody years and years and years.
Okay, Dr. Kaufman?
Yes, I'm here.
We're gonna have to talk. Actually, I think I know who it is. I don't think she's doing it on purpose, but it's okay. Anyway, let me ask you something, I guess, if I can. The whole thing about dating, why is that such a problem today in society?
Oh, that's a good question. I believe there are a lot of people who are really wonderful and are very lonely today. And from what I hear all the time, it's because, you know, they've either been hurt in the past or they just think of dating as such a miserable experience where they have to not be themselves or get rejected over and over again, and it can be humiliating, and so often they just decide it's not even worth it or it's such a painful process, when really I found that if you do it the right way, dating can be a lot of fun and it can be very enlightening and even transformative. So the context you have around it, that's why dating is so hard these days, is sort of the way that it's people experience it and what is said about dating, a lot of the messages we're given about dating.
You know, it's funny because, I have a lot of single friends, and it's funny, as people get older, it seems like they're getting so picky, and people will say, you know, I'm looking for that perfect match. I want everything to line up perfectly with the universe.
Yes, and actually, I don't know if you looked at my quiz, but one of the types is the perfectionist, and I find that a lot where, you know, there's a huge list of criteria, and it's almost like the character Seinfeld, if you've ever seen that TV show, where he'll just find the littlest things every time about somebody, And that can even be a defense from kind of getting hurt. You know, if you just keep finding something wrong, then you never really have to take a risk or, you know, or get real with somebody. And I think we all know we all have things, so no one's ever going to be perfect. It's kind of finding the right balance and not settling and finding what's really important to you, but also learning how to work with things that are a little challenging sometimes.
That's it.
You know, it's funny. I've always said this to people about the whole dating situation. You know, who's going to be in your corner when the chips are down? And I think that really matters.
That's a really good point, especially, I mean, people date for different reasons. Some people date just to have fun or to have romance. But a lot of times if you're looking for at least a serious relationship or marriage for that matter, that's a really, really important thing is who's going to be there for you and who knows how to have a commitment to get through the hard times. So I agree with that.
You know, Dr. Kaufman, I've heard from people who say, you know what, when I meet that perfect person, oh, my God, my life is going to be just what it's supposed to be. And I always go, really? That's interesting.
Yes. That's something I see a lot, too, is I'll have people come in, and they're, you know, they're really wonderful people, but there are a lot of dreams and things about their life that they're holding back because they don't want to get a house until they have a husband, or they don't want to travel until they have that boyfriend. And even though it's understandable because it's something they truly, a heart's desire, something they truly want, in a way it doesn't work because in fact, it's like that movie. They say when you build it, it will come. You attract who you are. So if you start really appreciating your life and going after your dreams, you're going to be that much more attractive in the sense that you're going to be happy and radiate that life that you've created and find the right person who fits with it. So a lot of times we do put a lot of things on hold until we have that person to complete us. But it actually, what my book talks about is kind of completing yourself first so that you know who complements you.
I don't have that much space apart, so the overflow is...
You know, I hear what you're saying, but it's interesting because, in other words, you know, you say about you know, build it and they will come, and in terms of, you know, having that person that's going to really change you and complete you, I believe, you like you said, you have to be completed yourself.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that the middle part of my book discusses. It talks to you about the different life areas and where you're not satisfied and where you haven't fully committed to different dreams of yours or different goals. And one of the things I find that also bleeds through into dating. A lot of times you'll get sort of the fatalist dater who, you know, wants a person to come and complete them but kind of doesn't want to do anything about it, you know, just kind of wants love to happen to them, which happens a lot in the movies. And sometimes it happens in real life where you just kind of run into that person. But I believe in life a lot of it is you're taking action, being clear about what you want. And we know that in the work situation, we're looking for a job, or we know that in a lot of other things, right? If we want to learn how to be an actor or what have you, write a book. But when it comes to dating, a lot of times people think it should just happen to them, and why isn't it happening? So,
you know, it's funny because, you know, I hear people talk about, you know, their friends and their dating, and I think people worry too much about what other people think. And I think that's a big issue. It's kind of like, well, what is this person going to think of me? Or, you know, I want my family to like my husband or my wife or my boyfriend or my girlfriend. And if they don't, that's a big concern. You've heard that before from, I'm sure, a lot of your clients.
Absolutely. And, well, there's two things in what you said. First of all, in general, I think that we try very hard to please in dating, which is understandable. We want to be liked. We don't want to be rejected. But I think that's very unfortunate. And I think it's really highlighted by a lot of these things like the rules where they tell you to act some way that you're not and pretend and play games and dress a certain way, maybe certain philosophies. And then you're kind of not even being yourself, and you get married, and maybe, you know, a year later you wake up next to the person and they say, who are you? You know, because, yeah, you got married, but they don't even know who you are, you know. So is that really a good match? And then we wonder why 50% of marriages end in divorce, and then probably 30%, I think I read, are unhappy because we're not being authentic from the beginning, you know. So I think that you have a good point that we, you know, a lot of times we're trying to please the other person or we're not really truly being ourselves. And about the family issue, you know, a lot of times in psychology we use the word individuated, which means like separating from your family of origin and becoming an adult. So if you're truly an adult or an individuated person, then your family may want you to marry somebody, and obviously you want to please them, but you have to make your own decisions. And I see that happen a lot where, you know, maybe someone falls in love and wants to marry outside their religion. And it is a tough choice. You have to be really clear, you know, is my family going to disown me? You know, am I going to be okay with it? Can I stand up for what I want? And really create your own family with that new person.
Yes, you made a really good point, Dr. Sherman, about standing on your own two feet because, you know, I look at things this way. I'm not an expert like you in this area at all. I'm not Dr. Date like you. But, you know, I kind of like take this philosophy, and it's actually helped me. You know, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Anyway, there was a beep going on. You know, I believe never take advice from a person who has a life you don't want in that arena. So, in other words, if your cousin has been divorced 5 times and is giving you dating advice, probably not the kind of person you want to listen to.
That's a good point. And, you know, I think that we could always listen and take what we want from people. That's okay. But ultimately, part of really taking responsibility in dating or in anything is really just taking in all the information and then deciding for yourself. And I think that's part of what makes a healthy marriage too, because you're always going to have come from different backgrounds, have different, you know, values or philosophies, and then you have to co-create something together that really works for both of you.
You know, speaking about relationships and marriage, I want to talk about you and your husband. Can I do that?
Sure.
You guys deserve it. When I first spoke to you not too long ago, it was really interesting how you said when you met your husband, you knew. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
How did you know he was the one?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's like a secret. People I want to know myself. How did you know?
I think it was actually on a lot of levels. I think I just knew, even on some level, I probably knew that he felt really right on our first date. We were actually both therapists at a clinic. It's kind of a funny story. I won't get all into it, but basically we had a shared client. It was a mother with 2 children, and I had the little boy and he had the little girl. So we were consulting on a case, but I really didn't think of him as dating. We didn't really know each other. And then he looked me up on the roster and asked me out one day, and I still didn't even know if that was a date, but we went on our first date at the amusement park, and we went on the Cyclone together, which is something I probably wouldn't normally do. And I felt so comfortable, and we walked around. I think we met at 8. We walked around till 4 in the morning talking, and we were both coaches, both therapists. We had read a lot of the same books. We both, you know, had a lot of the same interests and peace and different things, and we could just talk. It was just effortless. It was almost like a soul connection.
Yeah.
And then before I knew it, it was 4 o'clock, and he never even kissed me goodbye, so I was still wondering whether it was a date or not. But, you know, it was just something where there was in the feeling sense, and if you call it chemistry, it was definitely there. But one of the things that I write about is not to just go on sort of falling in love and feelings. Like, that's very important that you have that aspect. But, you know, part of my process in not dating the way that everyone says with the rules or whatever was figuring out what I thought was a good way to date. And part of that was getting really clear what I was looking for, you know, something reasonable, but what I'm looking for, and also who I am and what's important to me in terms of my values. And so one story I sometimes tell in my class, I think that I always remember, is I wanted kindness was my top one. I mean, there were other things I wanted, but...
Wow.
Yeah, and one time we were walking on our lunch break, and, you know, he used to drive to work, and he said, do you have a quarter? Because that meter's going to expire. And I said, well, I thought that your car was over there by the clinic, like further that way. And he said, yeah, but that person's going to get a ticket. And I think I did a double take and thinking, man, this guy is, like, even kinder than I am. This guy is really, who thinks that way, you know? And that's just one example of the type of person that he is. And I just thought that would be really great to have my kids be around that and to be around that every day. So
that's awesome. So you knew how someone you wanted to have children with. That's awesome. And what is your husband's name?
Ian.
Ian. Oh, Ian. Actually, that's my web designer's name. That's funny.
Okay.
So Ian, I know Ian's out there. Ian, you have a great wife. So, you know, I mentioned on the call when I was introducing you how you walk the walk and talk the talk, because so many people, you know, who are in these fields as psychologists like you are, they're great at helping other people, and you know how they are with their own issues.
Yeah, well, I think we all, I mean, I have to say, I think we all have issues, and even though, you know, we love each other and we feel like we're each other's soulmates, there are days that we fight and we get mad at each other, you know, and then we'll say, but, you know, you're still the right one for me. I can't stand you right now, but we still know you're the right one for me. So I just want to say, because I think it's very important that people not sort of present this Hollywood version. Like, you know, I always say dating is work and marriage is work and everything's work. But, yeah, I think we do try to walk our talk and we do really love each other. And I'm very blessed that I found that person that I could spend my life with. So
That's awesome. So I guess, so should I tell some of my friends that when they go on a date that they should show their worst qualities first to get it over with? There's an idea. In other words, instead of showing your best, show your worst, because then it's only going to improve.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily recommend revealing everything at once, but you know, there is some truth to that, because not to show it all at once, but that if you really are yourself and you can feel that comfortable with someone, that says something about the relationship. And, you know, the right person will stick around and work with you. And a lot of times you don't even get to that point. You'll spend a long time pretending, and then you're going to find out that information down the road anyway. So it doesn't end up working out, you know.
So it's funny, because sometimes, I hear this from a lot of friends. Like, they'll go on a date with someone, and sometimes the first thing a person will ask is, so what do you do for a living? And I always tell them, ask this question. Ask me what I do while I am living.
I like that.
Because it kind of, does it matter what you do for a living? People say no, but it's an icebreaker. But in a way, you know, in some ways, like, I know what I do for a living tells my passion. But, you know, are you a doctor, lawyer, fireman, whatever? Does that really identify your qualities as a human being? I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
Remember you said your first quality you thought was very important was the word kindness.
Yeah.
You know?
And
so here's an idea.
Sorry, go ahead.
What do you do for a living? I try to find the kindest people in the world. You qualify.
I really appreciate it, Joe. I'm very glad I met you. Thank you.
Yeah, no, right, there you go. Somebody, see what I'm saying? In other words, right. So my point is imagine someone made a comment like that. You know, I'm looking for the kindest person in the world. Are you qualified? And that would be an icebreaker.
Yeah, and I mean, I believe actually, obviously, everyone wants to be liked, particularly in dating, because we're also insecure and we're just waiting for that rejection. And that's one of the things that I also teach in my classes, both in terms of our self-talk and in terms of being with somebody else, is look for what's good. You know, a lot of times we talk in our heads about, oh, they're not going to like this about me, I don't look my best today, da-da-da. Instead, maybe make a list of 25 really fabulous things about you and read that beforehand, because everyone has things to offer, and really vibrate that and focus on that. And vice versa, instead of looking at what you don't like in someone, you have plenty of time to figure that out later, but try to just really appreciate at least 3 things about that person or about that date, because you're going to leave that person feeling good whether you marry them or not, and you're going to feel better about the time that you spent. So, yeah, that's one thing I noticed about you from the beginning of this call, is that you really do honor people in terms of what's good about them, and that does make people feel great, and people do want to be around that. Who doesn't?
Thank you. Right, and I learned that quality from my father, and I do that with sports, with people, but it's just an inherited quality that I'm blessed that I still have it. I haven't forgotten where I came from. Right, treat people with respect, because, you know, it comes back with the karma.
Absolutely.
It really, really does, and you know, this whole world about relationships and connecting, and you know, let me ask you, I guess, you know, people say that a lot of marriages break up because of religion or money. Is that really the truth?
You know, it's funny. Maybe religion is one of them, but I remember when I used to be writing a marital blog and column for a while, that I had read that the 3 top issues, I believe, that people fight about are money, children, and sex. But probably religion is another one. I think religion is a huge one when it comes to dating, particularly once they have kids. I think that, and also power struggles is another big one. But I think that, you know, sometimes religion becomes more important once you have children than maybe when you're dating or single. But a lot of times, how could we put an umbrella term? It's all about differences. And I think differences are really hard for people. When we're in love, we think, you know, the person's telling us how great we are, and we're doing everything in sync and having so much fun together, and then it kind of gets real, and we have all these responsibilities, and all of a sudden, the person who thought we were the greatest in the world has a difference of opinion. Oh, my God,
right.
You know, and now we're together forever. What do we do? It's the same thing on a much smaller scale as what happens in wars, you know, where people kill each other. I mean, hopefully they don't do that, or they don't get divorced in marriage, but it's really about kind of being able to take a step back and say, this is still a person I love, and what sense person making, even if it's different from mine, and how do we come up with something that's, you know, a compromise or a shared vision that we can both live with. So that's sort of the umbrella thing I would say about the religion and all those issues that people fight about.
Well, that's really interesting. But I guess here's a question I have for you. You talked about, you know, people being single and having a lot of fun. So you know what that sounds like? That when people are dating, aren't they really on vacation together for a while?
Oh, that's funny you say that, because a lot of my clients say that, you know, it's sort of a dreaded test to go on vacation. Whereas dating, you know, people are just trying to get through the first hour sometimes because they aren't relaxed or being themselves, you know, and when you go on vacation, it's 24/7. It's a lot harder to keep up that act. So it's funny, I'm just reacting to the word vacation. But if you ask me, I love dating because I think there's so many good things about it, which I think we're going to talk about later, right? You wanted 10 great things about dating. But But, you know, a lot of people don't think of it that way because, again, they're focused on getting rejected, on not liking the other person, on finding, you know, running in their head the things that are wrong with them. And so then, lo and behold, it's a negative experience. But if you can actually really enjoy the moment, really learn something new from the other person and really offer what's great about you, then it's not a bad experience, even if you don't marry the person, you know? So that's my take on that. I mean, I don't know if you think it's a vacation, but it is entering another world, right? Anytime you meet somebody, you could learn new about a new job, let's say, from that person, even if you're not going to marry them. You could experience a new fair or a new restaurant or have just a great time, even if you never see that person again. You know, there's two guys that I dated a long time ago that actually came to our wedding and are friends with my husband. That's weird as that is. So you never
So men and women can be friends? Is that what you're saying?
I think so. I know there's that whole When Harry Met Sally thing, but
yes.
Yeah, I think so.
We could probably do a 2-hour episode on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, I mean, there's the whole thing about whether men and women can be friends, and some people say, look, I'm just dating to get married. I don't have a lot of time. I have friends already, which I can understand that mentality. But I really think to have an empowering context around dating where it's a win-win, it's not a waste of your time, is just a much more enjoyable experience since you're doing it anyway. And really, there are many reasons why we meet somebody. So you can gain something from that experience even if they're not the right one for you.
Well, let me ask this question with the whole men and women friend thing, because there's a lot of theories in this, and I'm going to hit you a little bit hard, okay, Dr. Sherman?
Okay, I can take it.
Okay. Now, you said that you're friends with, you know, two ex-boyfriends. That's great. But when someone says...
No, I didn't say boyfriends. I said two men that I dated.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm
not
saying I wouldn't be friends with an ex-boyfriend, but it's different. It wasn't somebody that was going to be a romantic long-term thing. It was more of a light thing, but then we became friends.
But, right, but let me ask this question in regard to that whole thing about men and women being friends. When you first meet someone, it's really funny. All of a sudden, you're living your life, you start dating someone, and it goes from this person was never in your life, and now they're in your life almost on a daily basis, and they go from, like, you don't know them to they're everything to you, and then all of a sudden, you know, if things don't work out, it's kind of like they went from, you don't know them, you know them, they're history.
Right.
Because life is full of a lot of hellos and goodbyes. And the whole thing about men and women being friends, now, I think friendships take a long time to develop. They don't happen overnight because I know people who have a lot of acquaintances, okay? Like, I don't have a lot of great friends. I have a lot of acquaintances, okay? People I deal business with. I have a few close friends. Now, if I said I had 200 close friends, I'd be a liar. I don't know if anyone really does.
Right. It would be a full-time job.
it definitely would be. It definitely would be a full-time job. So I used to tell girls this when I was younger, when I was in my early 20s, and girls would say to me, oh, I'm friends with all my ex-boyfriends. Life's so great. And I would go, that's interesting. I have a really good idea when you get married one day. And they thought this was obnoxious, but I'll say it anyway because I guess it's my show. I can say what I want. Anyway, as I laugh at myself, which is also ridiculous, then I would say, well, why don't you one day get married, have your family, and then have all your ex-boyfriends live in the cul-de-sac with their wives and their families? And they would go, oh, you can't do that. Well, you just said you could be friends with all of them. Why not? They kind of got my point. It's a little too familiar, you know?
Yeah, I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to make the distinction, although I'm not saying it's impossible. Some people might really be able to be friends. Exes, but I think that's a blurry line. If it's going to be something that holds you back or something that when you're lonely you fall back into, I've seen there be lots of problems with that. So I think it depends on the situation. But what I was talking about is I actually advocate dating people, not doing the exclusive thing after like 3 dates and just dating different people for a while and getting to know them. So at one point when I started dating, I was dating like, you know, a number of different guys, even after I met my husband, because I wanted to get to know them over time. And, you know, I could tell nothing was going to come of it, but, you know, they were still really nice people, and having spent time with them, I had fun with them. So, you know, what I'm saying is, if you don't expect everything to end up in marriage, there can be different reasons that you meet someone, and you might still keep in touch with them and wish them well, and they get married and you get married. So I think that we tend to over-personalize things and put so much pressure on the dating. And what I'm saying is that there's value in it, even if it turns out in a different way.
You know, that's a very nice way of putting it, because I went totally the other way, and you can't. That's great. No, because I was giving an extreme example, and what you're saying is right. In other words, you're saying is, you know, go on dates with people, try things out. Don't put pressure. See, we live in a big pressure cooker in this world, and people go, you know, my biological clock is ticking, and I want that perfect mate, and, you know, and I can't have kids. And, you know, life will throw you curveballs. It's going to challenge you. And not everything is, you know, as smooth as you want. People say, well, I want to have that perfect job, and then I'm making X amount of money. Okay, now I'm ready for my wife or my husband. Where are they? Well, they might not be there. And listen, and I meet people, they go, well, I want, here's what I want. You ever get that from your clients? Here's what I want.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then you start saying, well, what do you really deserve? And somebody says, well, you know, I want a Harvard medical doctor who makes X amount of dollars a year and is going to be home every night at 6 o'clock and wine and dine me. Well, that person might not be available, and he has to be good looking too, of course. So that person might not be available for you at this juncture.
Or, you know, I'll throw you another curveball, Joe. He might be, but he might be not what you think he is, because, you know, to quote a TV show, you know, that most people probably know, the Sex and the City, you know, to use that as an example, you know, I don't know if you know the character Charlotte, but she wanted this guy that she thought was always her fantasy, who was a doctor and this and that, and, you know, well-bred. And then she ends up with him, and emotionally he doesn't fit her, even though the package seems right. And then she ends up with a different guy who's, you know, bald and overweight and Jewish, and they have this great relationship. But, you know, she had to kind of get over her attachment to what it was going to look like and allow something new to experience it and see if it fits. So I think that's something that sometimes we box ourselves in with our ideas of what it should look like, and that is sort of the point that I'm making about, you know, we meet people for different reasons, and we need to experience them and see over time. You know, on the other hand, I do understand that heart's desire to, you know, if you want to have a kid and you're 38 and you have to meet someone, yeah, you probably will have to put more effort into it and take action, not just wait for it to happen. And I think that's really understandable, but you're right, you can't always control it. So you have to try to have as many experiences as possible and see what will work for you.
Interesting. Now, Dr. Data, as you've known around the world, I just got a bunch of emails from some people who have questions. Can I hit you with a few?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Now, and it's funny, these friends might email me, they want to know things. Now, one person in particular, okay, who's actually, he's famous himself, he has a reputation, he just sent me an email. He's known as America's number one kisser. You like that?
Yeah, that's great. How many people have you kissed?
Yeah, well, yeah. And the girl seems to like that. He's blushing right now on the other line. His face is turning red, and it's okay. This is only being recorded, so no big deal. And, you know, what I've told this gentleman sometimes is when he goes on a date with a person, okay, and he enjoys her company, and then she doesn't call him back, and he can't understand it, I say, you know what, she's probably dating other people too, and maybe, you know, you could be the just-in-case guy, or maybe you're not her top choice, which is okay. She's allowed to do that. And sometimes people don't reveal their true feelings. In other words, when you meet that right person, the wrong ones who rejected you, in a way, aren't they really doing you a favor deep down in the end?
I think so. I mean, we never know. We only get one side of the story. We never know why someone doesn't call. It's true. There's that whole book written, you know, that I forget what it's called, but not
Men from Mars, Women from Venus. Women from Venus?
No, that one about, I never read it, but he's just not that into me. And the idea being, you know, I guess it's true of women too, but if the person doesn't call, there's your answer. They're not into you. I think often that's true. I think I read that 97% of men will call you within 72 hours or something for a second date if there's chemistry. But again, why are we choosing people? Is it based on chemistry? And I think people are also more complicated than that. Sometimes when someone really likes you but they've been hurt, they may freak out and not call. They may have a controlling mother and you're not controlling, so unconsciously you're not a match. I mean, we torment ourselves trying to figure out why someone does something when ultimately we can't know that. You have to know someone pretty well. So what I tell people is just no is a word, just like yes, and it might be upsetting, but, you know, move on. Because the right person will eventually get to know you and stick around. And hopefully these days, I mean, chemistry is important, but you can take 2 or 3 dates to try to get to know somebody. So, you know, the fact that she didn't, I don't know whether he kissed her or not. Maybe he should have kissed her, but, you know, the fact that she didn't call back is upsetting, but, you know, I don't think there's much he can do about it.
You know, but
try one more time, yeah.
Right, but see, now, if people are dating, let's say one or two of the persons, one person is chasing a little bit, okay? And in other words, the other person not returning their calls, and it's a struggle at the beginning. My opinion is, again, I'm not an expert like you, is if the person's struggling and making the other person chase after them and avoiding them a little bit, why would they ever want to be with them to begin with?
I'm glad you say that, because the rules is based on a different philosophy, particularly for men, which is be mysterious, play hard to get, because men are cavemen. They are chasers by nature. You know, they in work and whatever, they're used to a challenge. And the harder they have to work, the more value they put to things. Now, I'm not saying there's no truth to this. I think it is sort of an inherent thing that tends to happen with men. But at the same time, I agree with you. I think there's our biological nature, maybe, where, you know, which they've proven in research that women look more for the wallet. This is just like on a first meeting, and men look more for looks or something like that. And
wait. Hold on here. I'm going to stick up for us a little bit.
Okay, but I was going to finish my sentence first.
I know, I cut you off because it was too good. I was being a wise guy. Go ahead, finish your sentence, and then I'm going to get
you. Because I'm saying I don't agree with that. I think my whole philosophy is, you know, yes, you know, I may have a man come in, and I know that, again, 97% of men will not call a woman if they didn't feel chemistry the first date. But I'm going to say, is that how you want to live your life? Or, you know, obviously there needs to be some chemistry, but are you going to marry someone based on that, or are you going to take time to really know who they are, not just with you, but with other people? So I guess I just think that we have to go against maybe our initial nature and really look at what's healthy.
Well, you know, I thought nature said this. I thought, maybe I'm wrong, that men are most concerned with women's personalities and women are most concerned with men's looks. Is that true?
Did you just say men are more concerned with women's personalities?
Yes, and women are concerned with men's looks. Isn't that the way it works?
When did you hear that? Are you being funny? I don't know. I didn't have a bad experience dating, and I like men, and I don't see – I know there are differences, but I don't see these polarized differences that a lot of people do see. I've had men in my classes. I've had men in clients. I have male friends. So I think that men do care about the personality, particularly when they're looking to get married or in a serious relationship. I think that is part of the chemistry. But, so as much as, again, I don't agree with making a foundation of a relationship based on just that, I have read studies where, at least for the first meeting, that is something that men tend to care more about is looks, and women, and maybe this is more, you know, in the past, tend to look more at the wallet or whatever for security reasons. But I think that's changing.
Yes, I hope that's changing.
You know.
I do too. I agree with you.
Yeah. But so, I would like to hear if you know a lot of men who look first at the woman's personality. I think that's fantastic.
I know a number of them. Okay. But now they care about the looks too. But in other words, you know, it's funny because, you know, sometimes men have met women who are really beautiful, gorgeous, you know, figures to die for. And then as they date them, all of a sudden they don't, you know, second, third date, they're not as good looking. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I believe that chemistry is a lot more than just looks.
Yeah.
You know, over time, I've had that with a lot of clients where they've said, you know, this person is so great on paper, I think we're just going to be friends. And, you know, then he's a great kisser. I wish I could just be attracted to his face. And then maybe by the fourth date, wow, I can't believe that I never was attracted to him. And then today they're married. So I've had those situations before. It doesn't happen for everyone. Some people just need that physical attraction right from the get-go. But I think sometimes chemistry can build if the person's inner beauty is great and, you know, and there's a sexual chemistry that builds. So sometimes it's good to give it time to really see what's there.
No, that makes a lot of sense, you know, about giving things time in life, letting things develop. Now, I just got another question here from a world-famous entrepreneur, okay? Can I ask you this question?
Sure.
Why is it that we guys can accept a woman's faults or history, but we can't allow them to accept ours? Oh, that's interesting.
He's actually taking responsibility there and saying that he can't allow women to accept his faults.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, hold on, I'm just writing the question. You know, first of all, I don't know if that's true of all men. Maybe that is more stereotypically true, because I think if I'm going to at the risk of stereotyping here, I will just say that a lot of times we want to put our best foot forward and we're taught to perform, and maybe particularly men, right, to be successful, to put our best foot forward and to impress, you know, to get people to like us. I think both men and women have that problem of really being able to be vulnerable and to just be yourselves. And ultimately, if you marry somebody, it's important to see, you know, all of you and to see if they can deal with that. So, I don't know. It's interesting, because usually we treat other people the way we treat ourselves. So my guess is that if this person, you know, has a hard time accepting, I don't know if that's true. It's too bad we can't put him on the line. But if he has a hard time accepting his own faults, that he might be that way with other people long term too. And it's something, I don't mean that in a harsh way, because I think we all have that. Something he could work on is just learning that to love the things that are challenging and the things that are great in himself and others, and to start revealing that and see that nothing terrible happens.
You know, I guess maybe in some cases people have trouble loving themselves, and they feel, you know, they can't allow, because of that reason, they can't allow someone to love them. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, absolutely, because if we know we're great, even though we know, you know, we talk too fast or whatever the issues are, we can kind of laugh at them and love ourselves totally, then we can just be ourselves with other people. But if there's part of us that really punishes ourselves, or we try to hide those aspects, because if we don't love them, we can't imagine someone else would. So I would say that that work, and I don't think it's just men, really is something that all of us need to look at and work on. And just, you know, it's sort of like in my quiz. For example, I'll give you an example. If someone's a proud dater because they're protecting themselves and they don't want to show anyone that they like them, once you realize that, then you can slowly take steps and say, you know, I'm going to say thank you so much. I really liked you. You know, I had a great time today, and start doing the opposite and show some appreciation. So the same here. If you're somebody who hides different things about yourself, maybe you take a baby step and try to share something difficult and see what happens. So it's a slow process,
Now, before, when you were talking about maybe somebody talking too fast, I know for a fact you weren't talking about me. That's impossible.
No, I probably was thinking of myself, actually.
No, I know I talk too fast. That's why I'm thinking she's getting me a little bit here, because I deserve it.
This show's going to go really fast then with the two of us.
There you go. And folks, just to let you know, if you just tune in, my name is Joe Casper, and you're on Talking Health. This is a station identification. Go to www.fireyourdiet.com for more information, how to get healthy, because you deserve it. And let's go back to our awesome guest, Dr. Sherman. Now, you have a great book. This is awesome. Dating from the Inside Out. Can you describe that book a little, please? Because I know this thing is about to hit Amazon really big. So can you kind of explain this book to me, please?
Sure, Joe. Thank you. My book is coming out on February 19th, 2008. And I wrote it actually based on my personal journey. I mean, it includes a lot of different stories from students and clients. But the idea being that, or the initial spark of it, was that so many dating experts talk about how you look and what you should say and what you should not say and what tricks and what games, like the rules, and not being yourself. And again, it's a really big distraction from what really you need in a good relationship. So as I said, I went through my own process of sort of figuring out what's important to me, you know, who I am and what I wanted, and how to go about, you know, looking at what stops me. So why it says dating from the inside out, it's like looking at what stops you in your dating psychology. You know, what people are you picking over and over again that aren't working? What beliefs do you have that aren't healthy about the opposite sex or about dating in general, so that you can become more positive on the inside on that level and become conscious of that? Secondly, being clear what you want and what you're looking for and who you are as a date. And lastly, taking action. So the last part is actually, that's why it's from the inside out. So the last part is you can't just sit there and wait for love. It would be nice if that happened, but how are you committed to taking action? Are you going out? You know, what are you looking for? Are you being a conscious dater? So that's what my book's about. And the reason that it has the law of attraction in the title is that, you know, we talk about the law of attraction as some airy-fairy thing that you ask the universe and then the universe brings you something. And my book kind of gives it legs in a different way, and it talks about what we vibrate is what we think, feel, and do. So you don't just go out and meet somebody because you're dating a lot. You have to really look at what your inner conception of dating is and what you want, and then you manifest it by what you're vibrating.
Well, that's powerful. So you're saying it's better to have quality dates than lots of dates.
Well, I don't even want to say that because my context is nothing is a waste of time. And you can't always know if you're who you're getting, if it's quality or not, especially if you're doing internet dating. But you can go into it saying being yourself, you know, feeling good about yourself, and there's some work to do there sometimes that's in my book, and then really looking for what's great about someone else and appreciating each experience. So I think numbers are good because the more people you meet, you know, the more experiences you have and the more you'll learn about what you like, what you don't like, and the more chances you'll have to meet that person. But sure, it's great. It would be better to have quality dates if you can arrange that. You know, sometimes by having introductions from family or friends, you're more likely to get somebody right for you than just randomly meeting people.
Now, do you think when people date, I mean, you know, the big thing today is internet dating because, you know, people are very busy. But I've always believed that that's one tool to the toolbox. I think you can meet people in an airport, in a gym, anywhere. I don't think if people should limit themselves to one arena. Do you?
Well, I was just thinking, I'm sure you could, because I think you're very friendly and out there. And I think if the person has a personality like that, then absolutely. You never know where you're going to meet somebody. You can meet them on the subway. So absolutely, everything is an opportunity every time you meet somebody. In the back of my book, I have a resources section because unbelievably, people come to my class in Manhattan and they say there's nowhere to meet anybody. And, you know, there's just an unbelievable amount of classes, bar openings, art galleries, you know, places like meetup.com, you know, where you can take free classes and meet singles, or, you know, trips on the weekend for singles. There's just, I could go on. I mean, I have pages of resources, including the internet. And a lot of what I come up against is people have these beliefs where they say, well, I'm not spending money to find love. Or I believe it should just happen if I sit home in my pajamas, you know, because that's the way it happens in the movie.
Right.
And I think people, you know, I can understand wanting that because I think it's human to not want to have to work because love is supposed to be a great thing. But, you know, if we said, hey, to our best friend, I'm waiting around for the job of my dreams and I'm just going to sit here and pray, they would look at you a little screwy, right? Because you're not putting your resume out there. You're not asking people for feedback. You're not going on the interviews. You're not really actively creating it. And for me, it's the same with dating. So I say the more you do, the better, and to have variety. And, you know, if you have to pay $30 a month for the, you know, pleasure of having a large variety of people online and you don't have a lot of time, then that's a good idea as long as you're careful about it.
I think this is fascinating stuff, you know, about dating and relationships and love. You know, I guess I have a question. If y'all want to hit you with something. You know, people say, well, what is true love? And, you know, I think it varies for each person.
Yeah, I think it probably would vary for each person. And one of the things I tried to do in my book is not to write something like the rules where, you know, it's a tell-all for everybody. Do this and do that and you'll get married, because, you know, my list might have been kindness. Somebody else might have been ambition, you know, if they have a number of things that they're looking for. And it's not that one is right. You have to really know yourself to know who's going to compliment you. So, what is true love? I can't really say that for everyone. But I think it is really finding someone who accepts you and who you accept and who you really love being with and want to create a life with. So,
I think that's very, very powerful. Now, we mentioned before about the top 10 reasons for dating. What was that thing we said before, the top 10 reasons for something?
Oh, yeah, you had written me that you told them that they wanted to know the top 10 positive things you can get out of dating. Is that right?
Yeah.
I tried to write it right before our call. Okay, I'm not saying these are the top 10 for everyone, but here are 10 great things you could get from dating.
Okay, go ahead.
One is fun and romance. Two is learning from others. As I've said, you know, even if it's learning about a new profession, learning about, you know, somebody's hobby, it doesn't only have to be getting married. Learning about yourself, you learn what you, you know, you learn how you react in, to different people and how you react in different situations just from having different experiences. Four was trying new things, because you can really do a lot of fun things dating and different people will expose you to different experiences. Five is learning to diffuse and accept the word no. Just
Ooh.
Like, you know, in sales, you know, we think of no as such a bad thing, but learning to be okay with that and to move forward and still like ourselves, not reject ourselves in the process, it's a very important thing you can learn in dating. Learning what you like in a mate, you know, the thing you might like certain things about different people and you start to sort of develop a composite of what's most important to you. Learning what you don't like in a mate, you know, what you really are not going to be able to live with. Learning to share yourself and what's really great about you to different people, because a lot of times we hide. Learning to explore beyond your type in a relationship. I gave you the example of Charlotte at in Sex and the City. You know,
yes.
Sometimes learning to try on new things and see how they work for us. And the last one was just learning to be more comfortable meeting people, because sometimes practice makes perfect. You know, you can't just go out and expect dating to be great in the beginning. Sometimes it's a process. So learning to practice that.
Interesting stuff. You know, as I'm hearing you talk, I guess I have a question for you, too, is isn't a relationship, you know, it's about two people connecting, and if one person is very, very self-centered, I believe that's going to drive a fork right through the whole relationship. Is that true, Dr. Sherman?
Well, it'll probably be a one-sided relationship, so it depends if you have somebody who wants to be really codependent and somebody who wants to be really self-centered. I guess they could have a match made in heaven, but again, no, each person decides what love means to them, but yeah, I do think that sometimes that's something that becomes a problem in dating. You know, sometimes I'll hear, well, he just talks to me the whole time and never asks about me. So it is a red flag. It's something that, you know, you want the person to get to know you and be interested in you so you have a healthy relationship.
So if a woman goes on a date with a guy and all he's doing is talking about himself, yeah, it's probably a red flag. I would have to agree with you.
Yeah, although I tend to side on the side of caution, and I'll say, well, that doesn't sound good, but maybe you should go out a few more times. Maybe he's really nervous, and that's his defensive style. You know, we all are not always our best at first. You know, and maybe the second or third date she could say, you know, I kind of feel like you haven't asked me anything, and see how he responds to that. Because, you know, you just don't want to cut off someone too quickly, but it is something to notice.
You know, I remember what was a really big red flag for me, which is, you'll get a kick out of this. You know, when you first meet someone, let's say they start complaining and dumping all their drama on you within the first 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was my biggest red flag. To me, it was basically over, because I'm thinking, if they're dumping all their drama and they're, you know, a victim, an emotional vampire in the first 5 minutes, I don't want to get to know them. I've had enough.
Right.
I'm ready to run for the hills.
Right.
Because I'm thinking it's going to get worse.
Probably. I mean, that's definitely not a good sign. You want to at least be able to feel like the person's pleasant and you can find something good about them. Sometimes when you have a really overwhelming experience like that, that feels very negative. Yeah, I can understand you not wanting to go on a second date. And certainly there are other situations, like if someone's really a jerk and stands you up or just really disrespectful of you, why would you want to go through that a second time? So yeah, there are definitely exceptions to that rule. But just to kind of combat the beliefs that we hold about what it should look like and to combat, you know, the whole chemistry thing, I think sometimes it's good to just give it 2 or 3 dates.
That's something very interesting, because what you're saying is give the person a chance. And I think we live in a society where it's such a microwave, fast-paced, you know, instant gratification world. It's like, okay, you know, this person first date, they're not perfect enough, their history, who's next? And, right, you don't get to really know the quality of that person. That person could have been the love of your life, but you'll never know.
Right, and just like you said, so many times somebody will appear, you'll think all these great fantasies about them, you know, because of the way they look, or, you know, you'll be so physically attracted to them, and if you didn't rush into something over time, you would see, this is not someone I really want to spend the rest of my life with, because that decision affects everything, you know, so it has to be on a lot of different levels, that relationship. It just can't be on the superficial.
Now when people are married, it's really interesting. I know a really famous entrepreneur, I'm not going to say her name, because and she speaks around the world, you know, like I do. Actually, she speaks even more than me, and she does so many businesses. Every day from 3:30 to 8:30 p.m. she's with her family. The phones are off. The secretary handles it. And that's why when I meet her husband and kids at events, they're so happy, and I know it's real. And I think once a week she told me her and her husband have date night. You think that's a good idea?
I think that is a great idea. It's funny you said that because I have, even though I do dating predominantly, I have some married couples in my psychotherapy practice, and I always suggest that. And even with my own husband, because we're both so busy with our careers that we, you know, we see each other more than just that day, but we always have a date day. And sometimes, you know, we would plan really fun things, so we'd have sort of that energy that we had when we were recording, you know, and do really things that we look forward to. And other times it's just to relax and be together and not do a whole lot of stuff. But, you know, we don't talk on the phone and we don't get distracted by other things. And I think, you know, a relationship is like a plant. You have to water it. You have to refuel it. And it's really important to prioritize, you know, the people that are important to you because it's so easy. And, you know, even with dating, I have a lot of people that work a lot. And they say, you know, oh, I really want to get married. Why isn't it happening? But when you look at their schedule, they're working all the time, and then they have to be a friend and a daughter, and they're not making a block of time to always go out. So it's like they want that significant person, but they're not willing to put in the energy to kind of create that.
So you just said a key word, the energy. And sometimes in this whole realm of dating, people want things to fit in their criteria of their time slot. So let's say two people are dating and, you know, they both normally get home at 5, 6 o'clock and spend the evenings together. And all of a sudden, either him or her has a shift in their job and they're getting really close. And, you know, one person has to work a 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. shift. And, you know, as the other person said, well, guess I'm going to leave you now because guess what? It's not fitting what I want my life to be. And that happens sometimes, unfortunately, because it's like, you know what? This is my picture, my blueprint for what I want in a relationship, and you're not fitting it right now, so you got to go.
Yes, and I mean, I think that could work two ways. I think that people do have to make time for each other, so the person, let's say it's the woman, wouldn't be wrong if this is happening consistently and no effort was being made to say this is not what I want in a relationship. But on the other hand, I'll give you my own personal example. You know, my husband used to work three jobs and sometimes like an overnight shift because he worked in a group home. And, you know, it was hard to see each other sometimes, but when you really want to see someone, you make it happen. And I remember one time he was going away, and he showed up at 8 o'clock because I would take a walk with me and then leave, you know. It was at my door at 8 o'clock in the morning. So when two people really want to see each other, if they're committed, they make it happen. It may not be perfect. You know, you may have to sacrifice things sometimes, but you know when someone cares about you through their actions.
So when people are trying to get together and people give lots of excuses, and isn't an excuse a well-thought-out lie anyway, pretty much?
Oh, an excuse is a well-thought-out lie. You know, that's interesting. I'd have to think about that. I think sometimes an excuse can be a well-thought-out lie, but it can also be unconscious. Sometimes we actually believe what we're saying. So, you know, and I don't know if everyone knows what the word unconscious is, but sometimes it's we're not even aware what we're doing. So, for example, if I say, you know, I just don't want to date right now. It could be just to get out of something and lie, but it also could be that I really believe that when underneath I'm just so scared to get hurt.
Yes.
So so sometimes an excuse is conscious and sometimes it's not.
Well, you know, Dr. Sherman, I got to tell you, this is really great stuff. I'm having such fun here, and I think this event is great. And just to let you know, folks, Dr. Sherman presents. You have a class, I believe, at the Learning Annex in New York City. Can you describe that, please? Because some of these people definitely deserve to attend your class.
Oh, thank you. Right now I'm giving a class at the Learning Annex. It's usually on a Monday. It's every month. It's actually this coming Monday is my next one. It's usually from 6:45 to 9:30. It's about 3 hours. And I discuss in more depth sort of what we talked about today, the three different parts. The first part is about what isn't working for you in dating, which is usually unconscious patterns that we repeat over and over again from our past. The second part is who you are as a date, what you're looking for, what you don't want, and who you're, you know, how you feel about yourself. And the last part is what action are you taking, creating a dating action plan and really holding yourself accountable. So hopefully when you leave there, you have a much better idea about how to sort of direct your own course in order to find someone who's right for you.
And I know you
can't come to my class, and you can always get my book. So, because it has lots of detailed exercises and quizzes that will really take you through the whole process.
Now, I also know now, Dr. Sherman, you're going to be also doing phone consultations with people. Is that true?
Yes, I already do that. I work in the office in Manhattan. I have a psychotherapy practice, and I work there 2 days a week, and then the rest of the time I'm doing phone coaching. So I could really do that internationally with people who want to focus around dating.
See, because, you know, it's funny about relationships, and, you know, I think relationships form, they build, and you learn from people, but, you know, some people looking for that one great connection, and you made a really, really valid point during this show that people's energy is what they attract, and that's something I think people don't really even think about, and that's what I've got from the show a lot about energy. I've had people say to me, Joe, when you walk into a room, sometimes you have too much energy for people. And I've had that said to me, and I know it's true. And I could meet someone, and I could tell in 5 seconds whether their energy and my energy is right for business. And I'm usually pretty accurate now. I could feel if they're turned off by a high-energy person.
Yes, and by the same token, I was going to say to you, after I heard that comment, that the right person is going to be so drawn to that, you know, somebody at the same level as you, and just see how special that is. So that's the thing about being authentic, is there are going to be a lot of people who don't like it, and that isn't rejection, it's just not a fit. And then the right people are going to be so drawn to that and think it's fabulous. So
yes,
I think you did hit on it, though. I had to say my main point, my main slogan is you attract who you are. So in so many myths of dating, it's all about pleasing the other person, playing games, doing outside things. And I really think that it's really about knowing ourselves and being ourselves, and that the right person is going to be attracted to that. And that's how we're going to know who compliments us. So, yeah, it is a lot of inner work, not just running around.
Wow, this, you know, you really get me to think about situations and things in my life, too. So this has really been great. I mean, I think this is awesome. And please give out everyone to your great website, too, if you would, Dr. Sherman.
Thank you so much. My website is mydatingschool, which is one word, .com. And if you want to contact me, my email is kpaulet@verizon.net.
And can I give out your phone number, please? Would that be okay?
Sure. My phone number is 718-593-7717.
And can you say it one more time for the audience, please?
Sure. 718-593-7717.
I was going to ask you to say it a third time.
I will mention, too, that a third time?
718. No, make you laugh.
That's okay. 718-593-7717.
I love that.
I was going to say that I do have a free e-newsletter, and so if anyone is going to want to come to my book launch party or get free monthly dating tips or read my articles, when you go to my website, you can just sign up for that. I don't give out any emails, and then you'll kind of be up on my events, and you'll be able to come to my book launch party.
And that's going to be in February, right? Correct, right around Valentine's Day.
Well, actually, I think just to make sure I got the books in time, I made it March 2nd. But
okay.
Yes, it's right after Valentine's Day. Unfortunately, it's not on Valentine's Day, but if anyone's depressed after Valentine's Day, maybe they'll go get my book and they'll feel better. So it comes out into the bookstores on February 19th. And if people go to Amazon.com, even now, they can do what's called pre-ordering, and they get $5 off the list price, and then it'll just come to their house.
That's awesome. Well, I want to offer something to some of these people, too. If they contact you and they want to order a book, can they get an autographed copy from you? Would that be okay?
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. And also, if they want to make it even easier, you can come to my – I mean, it's free to come to my book launch party, which is on the 2nd. It'll be in the Village in Manhattan if they're here anyway. And then I'm going to be signing books there, and they can meet me. So whichever way.
Yeah, we have a bunch of people here from, like, other parts of the country.
That's
and even
true.
I know people from Canada and Australia on the line right now, too, so.
Yeah, I would be happy to do that because I should have some extra copies. So it'll have to be after February 19th, but I could sign it and send it to them personally.
Well, that's great. Listen, Dr. Sherman, you're awesome. I enjoyed
Thank
having you,
so
folks.
Much.
If you would, my name
it's
is Joe Casper again. This has been an awesome show with the great Dr. Paulet Kaufman Sherman from mydatingschool.com. So again, for more information about what we do, visit www.fireyourdiet.com. If you're serious, not curious about getting healthy, contact me directly and I'll pay the call. My pleasure. 877-347-7839. actually Dr. Sherman Standerline too, because we're going to have some questions. I'm going to cut the tape right now. Folks, again, thank you so much, and I'm going to say goodbye to you in 1 second.